Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to HIL Limited Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Rangnekar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neeraj. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to HIL Limited's quarter four and FY 2022 earnings conference call for investors and analysts. Today we have with us Mr. Dhirubhai Chaudhary, Managing Director and CEO of the company, Mr. K.R. Veerappan, CFO, Mr. Ajay Kapadia, Vice President, Finance and Accounts. We will first have Mr. Dhirubhai Chaudhary making opening comments, and he would be followed by Mr. Veerappan, who will bring out financial perspectives. Before we commence, I wish to state that some of the statements made on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and details in this regard are available in the earnings presentation which has been shared with you. I shall call upon Mr. Dhirubhai Chaudhary to present his views now. Thank you, and over to you, Dhirubhai.
Thank you, Siddharth. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to HIL's Q4 and FY 2022 earnings call. Thank you for taking the time to join us today, and I sincerely hope that all of you are doing well. I'm happy to share that we have closed FY 2022 with a 26% growth in top line on a standalone level and 16% growth at consolidated level, and have reached a top line of nearly $500 million. This is driven by a committed response by our dedicated teams to various business headwinds. While the flooring segment countered non-availability and pricing of HDF/MDF boards, we have observed inflation build up across other key inputs in every other business segments. However, we believe these challenges are transient, and as these situational adversities recede, we will regain our focus on profitable volume growth. I will now take you all through the individual performance of each business. The roofing solution business saw yet another quarter of good performance, marking a seasonal upside. Given our brand supremacy and strong product attributes, we have been successful at gaining market share even as we took price increments. In line with the overall economy trend, the business has seen a certain pickup in the cost of cement, fly ash, fiber, and sea freight. Our teams have been working on various avenues of cost reduction methodically, including looking at alternative raw materials and recipes. This is being done at HIL for few quarters now, and hence, despite the shortcomings on the supply side, we have been able to grow our market share with impact on margins. Last year, the monsoon was better on the back of which our optimistic outlook for sales in the present quarter holds strong. Our leadership extends across pricing, quality, distribution, and connect, and we are striving to better our performance this quarter as well. Our non-asbestos roofing Charminar Fortune brand continues to garner business growth and robust traction in the market, where volumes have shown improvements. Since last 1 year, our team has been graduating production towards unit care, which comes with better manufacturing efficiency, thereby aiding our competitiveness. We are confident in maintaining our status as industry leader in roofing segment as well. As the supply bottlenecks and inflation ease, we will certainly regain our profitability as well. Coming to the building solution segment, your company was able to deliver a robust performance in FY 2022 compared to FY 2021. Revenue grew by 44% and PBT grew by 86%. We are witnessing very high rates of utilization of capacity. Our next growth lever will be geographic expansion in East and capacity enhancement in existing plants. amidst the raw material inflation, the real estate and building material industry has actually seen a healthy demand, and we are confident that we'll be able to maintain our growth trajectory on the back of our strategy for this business. In polymer solution business, margins remain under pressure due to volatility of resin prices and high cost of other chemicals and polymers. PVC prices have come down during this quarter, leading to an element of inventory loss. The putty business too is impacted by the higher material cost and competition. However, our strategy of geographic expansion continues to help us gather growth. We witnessed a healthy 36% growth and have successfully crossed the 500 crore revenue mark last year. The challenges were far more in European context, where Paradox faced a huge scarcity of raw material and a doubling of key raw material costs. Other challenges like increase in energy cost and tripling of sea freight impacted the operations. Yet Paradox registered growth in top line over last year on an entire year basis. Our European team have taken determined effort towards augmenting multiple selling price escalations across product categories, entering long-term supply contracts with key dependable raw material suppliers, improving product mix, and continuously working on cost base, which have all supported towards partially offsetting the impact of cost adversities. As a result of all of this, as committed earlier, we could register good sales in Q4. However, towards the end of the year, the geopolitical crisis between Russia and Ukraine, as well as the severe COVID spread in China, have brought in new challenges which has impacted the availability of wood products, vinyl products, increased energy and freight cost. Relentless efforts are being made to mitigate these challenges by developing new wood suppliers to reduce dependency on Ukraine. Paradox continues to expand in Europe at a very good rate. Globally, China continues to be an important market for us, while plans for further global expansion are still on the table. We remain optimistic on the potential of Paradox becoming a global brand catering to the growing needs of customers all over the world. We are orienting the business for a global growth curve. As we tap new countries, our approach is deliberate, and we ensure that we understand local nuances in order to maximize the opportunities. We believe we have a strong trademark on design and quality, and this gives us the ability to price our products well. The coming years will be most exciting for Paradox. Overall, in this tough inflationary and volatile times, we have demonstrated 26% sales growth in domestic and 18% EBITDA growth, maintained the EBITDA margins at 14% and increased market share in all segments in domestic market. The fabric of HIL is intact, and we are well on way to achieve the goal of becoming US$1 billion company by 2026, serving as one-stop building material solutions company with both domestic and global presence. The Birla brand has a reputation for quality and is one of the most well-known brands in the country. These factors, combined with our strategies and valuable experience gained in the last 2 years, have helped ensure business growth despite all the challenges, and we are committed to continue leverage this going forward. I would like to thank all the stakeholders for their sustained support in helping us close yet another successful financial year. Thank you for your patient hearing. I would like to hand over the call to my CFO, Mr. Veerappan. As you all know, Veerappan is moving on from the organization, and I would like to take this moment to thank him and to appreciate his valuable contribution for all these years. Over to you, Veerappan.
Thank you, Dilu. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you once again for attending HIL Limited's Q4 and FY22 earnings call. I hope that you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. I'll be now taking you all through the financial and operating highlights of the company in Q4 FY22. We have successfully closed FY22 with 16% growth at consolidated level in the year, coming in at rupees 3,520 crores, which is $500 million. PBT grew by 1% amidst higher raw material costs and margin pressures, persisting almost throughout the year and was recorded at rupees 295 crores. Moving on to the quarter, in Q4 FY22, revenue was recorded at rupees 949 crores, having grown by 12% year-on-year and 16% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA grew by 12% quarter-on-quarter, coming in at rupees 96 crores. PAT for the quarter stood at rupees 51 crores. Roofing Solutions revenue grew at 5% year-on-year to rupees 241 crores in Q4 FY22, and for the first time crossed 1,000 crore revenue in the whole year in FY22, growing by 17% year-on-year. As Dhruv stated, despite margin pressure, we have yet again seen an increase in our market share. We continue to bolster our position as a leader in the Indian roofing industry on the back of such performances. The Building Solutions business grew by 20% year-on-year and 9% quarter-on-quarter during the quarter, coming in at rupees 115 crores. For FY22, revenue for the segment stood at rupees 400 crores, having grown by 44%. We have been able to minimize the impact of high inflation and raw material prices in this segment by strategic pricing and cost-saving mechanisms. The Polymer Solution business grew by 13% year-on-year to rupees 137 crores in Q4. In FY22, the business grew by 36%. I'm glad to share that this year we have crossed a revenue of rupees 500 crores and are hopeful of this number to continue expanding in the future. With introduction of new SKUs, increasing volume and prudent pricing, and adding new distributors, we have been able to grow this business to where it stands today and will continue to do so. The Flooring Solution business, growing by 16% year-on-year and 22% quarter-on-quarter, stood at rupees 454 crores in Q4. For the year, it has achieved a revenue of rupees 1,549 crores, having grown by 5%. We continue to adapt to the current conditions and are focused on growing it in Europe as well as globally. Our constant endeavor to keep the cash-focused approach in the businesses has supported once again to maintain a healthy balance sheet. The debt has been reduced by rupees 122 crores in FY22 and now stands at rupees 288 crores at the consolidated level and rupees 25 crores interest-bearing debt in HIL India. However, as on date, HIL in India has become once again a debt-free organization. The total debt-to-equity ratio improved to 0.25 as on 31st March 2022 as compared to 0.41 as on 31st March 2021. HIL's net worth stands at rupees 1,166 crores, registering a growth of 17% over last year. HIL is making significant strides towards the goal of becoming a $1 billion company, even in the current economic scenario. Apart from the pressure on margins due to the inflation and input prices, the businesses delivered very strong growth. We fully expect the margins to recover in the coming quarters as this situation gets resolved. With this, I would like to conclude my open remarks, and I thank once again for all the support. And I would like to thank Dhruv also for the support he has been giving me all these years. And thank you once again. I request the moderator to open the floor for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Vaidik Sarkar, Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Mr. Chaudhary, good evening, sir. And given the challenging environment, congrats to you and the team on a very strong quarter of execution. A couple of questions. What's the environment in the domestic roofing segment looking like now? We've seen segmental margin pressure here. If you could highlight the areas that are inflationary for us and importantly how the growth and margin profile is looking for the current quarter and year. Yeah.
Mr. Sarkar, thank you very much for asking the question, but your line is extremely weak. I just couldn't capture your question in total. Would you like me to get your question, or would you like to just repeat it once again, sir?
No, my apologies for that. Is my line any better now?
Yes, it sounds much better. Thank you.
I was just hoping to ask you what the environment in the domestic roofing segment is looking like. We've seen margin pressure here. If you could please highlight for us the areas that were inflationary for the quarter, and importantly, for the coming quarter and for the coming year, what is your opinion on growth and the margin profile as far as the segment is concerned?
Very clear. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I must say that the margins have been low last quarter and was significantly pulled down due to several material cost pressures or headwinds that we have, whether it be fiber costs that went up, cement, fly ash, pulp, the freight cost had almost tripled, and all of that had its due course. There is only a finite bit that we could have done in improving the selling prices in the market, and Q4 is always a build-up for Q1, and therefore there is less availability of opportunities, if I may say, to increase the price. But in Q4, we have already raised our selling price by about 6%, and we then prepared ourselves for quarter one in every aspect. You would have also noticed that inventory levels were kept higher, and one of the reasons for that was for roofing to be better prepared to meet what we would estimate to be another bumper quarter one for us, because the rains have been very good last year, and we believe that we would have a very potent year ahead, including this quarter. So I definitely see that this quarter has started well, and we have raised another 8 to 10% selling prices in this quarter. We have been able to penetrate the market even better than last year by virtue of our last leg connect and the number of dealers, distributors, retailers that we have been able to build to our team. I definitely see that situation will continue to remain tough on material cost, but HI's performance will definitely, be better than the market.
No, that's good to know, sir. So with these 8 to 10% price hikes, you think we would be in a position to pair our margins to where they were in the previous year? Or would you reckon, we have some, ground to cover before the previous year's margins are fully met?
I would go for your second guess. Yes, there is some room to cover, and we will continue to strive doing that. You see, overall the country, the market prices are not the same. And while we are determined to stay market leaders on selling prices, and HIL being the market leaders in roofing, with close to 22% market share, will dominate this market in every way due to its brand and quality. We will try and be opportunist not to lose our market share and yet grow the prices. So this is a very, very dynamic balance that we maintain, Mr. Sarkar, and I assure you that any forward potential of increasing price will not go in a bend. So HIL will continue to raise the price as the quarter progresses to meet up to the cost challenges.
Sure. Thanks for that. The rebound in Parador has been very sharp. Again, great execution here given the environment and the geopolitical environment. What's the theme now with regard to margin improvement? Would you reckon that gradient will continue? Given recent shocks in energy prices. And if you could also please delve upon where and how we stand on the HCS sourcing challenge and how things are looking there today.
Parador has been a very, very interesting and difficult story for us. And I've been extremely transparent all the time about all your businesses. And I'll continue the same with Parador. So, sometimes middle of last year, we were sweating. We didn't have HDF, MDF. The prices were heavier, but more than that, the availability was not ascertained at all. And I've been keeping you fully informed, Mr. Sarkar, that we are trying our best first to remove one variable, which is availability, and then we will go for the price. and I had given comfort to all of you that I believe by quarter four we will be coming to some balance on this HDF MDF concern that the earlier two quarters had. And we were absolutely there. So quarter four, we had materials, we had orders, we had ramped up production in Europe. That's not easy, but believe me, they're working exactly our style, Indian style, and we are working their style. So it's a fantastic coalition. Quarter four has been the best ever revenue quarter by Paragon in any stretched history. And that was very, 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 very pleasing to us. But then came in this geopolitical Russia-Ukraine crisis, and I'm sure all of you are updated. Ukraine supplies almost 40% of oak lamellas. You know, lamella is 3 and 4 millimeter thick oak. And Ukraine is the supplier of 40% of the global supplies of lamellas. And oak is an imperative part of engineered wood, which is almost 30% revenue of Paragon. And 80% of lamellas that Paragon buys comes from Ukraine. So you can see we have sorted out one issue with HDF MDF, and your question, last question was, where are we? That has been sorted out. So the quantities have been all now committed. We have long-term supply agreements with some of the big, big HDF MDF suppliers in Europe, which we have done over the last few quarters with me jumping in directly into it, and that has helped the organization immensely. But we have a different problem now. The problem is, which was completely unacceptable and unprepared for, was the lamellas issue. So I was in Europe for almost 2.5 weeks, and we were trying to meet all suppliers that we could even think of, dream of, around Europe, right up to Americas. And I'm telling you, we are doing everything that we can to meet up even this challenge. Order book looks good in Paragon. I can take pride in saying that the growth that we wanted to bring to exciting our sales to different countries outside Germany has worked very well last couple of years, and the fruits are there for you to see. Spain has grown immensely last year. UK has grown immensely. China is still has grown, but still to really flower for us, you know, and we are waiting for COVID to really come down there. But we are aggressively working at getting orders, and that's working well. Now, the question is, can we continue to get lamellas from different countries? How can we safeguard materials? How can we keep up the revenue? So where I was looking at maybe a little bit of a restful period and saying quarter four, the challenge is behind us, it doesn't seem that way. So to be objective, we'll have to wait and watch. We don't know how the war is going to still pan out. We don't know what kind of challenges it will bring to Europe in way of inflation, gas prices, demand structure, what consumers. At the moment, the orders are flowing in for Paragon, and we are happy. But I'll caution you to wait another quarter or two to be really certain that, yes, we are back once again. But once we are back, this is transient. Once we are back, the fabric is well constructed. Paragon will grow and will double itself. We are roughly about 180 million euro turnover from 140, which we were 2 years back, and we will ensure that we are moving towards 350 million in the next 3 to 4 years.
Thank you. So the line for the participant dropped. We move on to the next participant. Before that, I request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Shubham Agarwal from Equiras India. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Good evening to everyone. And firstly, I'd like to congratulate the entire team to post such a good number despite of severe headwinds. Sir, my first question would be regarding Paragon. So I would like to understand a bit more about the demand scenario. because obviously we know the cost of living has also gone up significantly in Europe because of the war. So, and this being a discretionary product, obviously it will face some demand challenges. So I wanted to understand what's the ground reality currently and what's your view regarding this.
Thank you, Shubham. Thank you so much for asking these questions, and thank you for your appreciation. It means a lot. I must say that I'm well aware that all the investors of HIL, all owners of HIL, do not maybe have a direct approach to the European market, and therefore you may at times feel a little helpless to understand the reality, but you have me, and your trust has always kept me alive. Let me give you the reality as we see in Europe. So we have certainly a different challenge with the war. The HDF-MDF problem is behind us, at least on availability. The costs are still high, but it's only a matter of time when these costs will start sliding down. But the war has put a lot more threats to us. There were lots of wood that were coming from Russia into Europe. There was, as I said, pure wood, that is oak, coming from Ukraine into Europe. Those, you have to ensure availability from elsewhere, and that's a challenge, and challenges keep us alive. So we will go through that. Prices are high, but selling prices have been improved. Because we have been able to get into different areas, which is not Germany alone, it has helped us to construct our selling price direction very well. We have increased our selling price last year by 35% on wood products and 25% on rest of the products. So definitely the selling price has gone up immensely in Paradore, and we have been very opportunistic in picking up the orders. We still have a good order base. The other challenge is, you know, some of the existing products have to be reworked on. So if we had an HDF-MDF problem, we had to rework and come around and sell non-HDF-MDF products last year. Now we will have a wood problem possibly to solve that out and get into non-pure wood, products. So all of that, the R&D is working immensely. The market still is holding on, but we will have to wait and watch. That will be my gauge on the market, Shubham.
So what would be our current order backlog size would around?
So Shubham, a very hygiene order backlog that Paradore always carried was about 16, 17 million. We do have 16, 17 million order backlog as we call it now. But the order backlog has gone up for engineered wood and is lower for the other products, that is vinyl and laminate. That's not a comfort area because engineered wood orders have a long drawn delivery, whereas laminates and vinyls have a shorter delivery. So we need more of vinyl and laminate orders to now plug on, and that's what the team is doing so that the current monthly revenues can be tracked. April in Paradore has not been a very good month on revenue, while it has been a fantastic month for the rest of India. But we are hopeful that we will climb on and make good all of this.
Perfect, understood. So that's it from my side.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Khanna from Bandhan Capital Advisory. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Very strong set of numbers from that.
Mohit ji, I can't hear you, sorry.
Yes, am I audible now? Good evening, sir, and congratulations for strong set of numbers here.
Hello,
am I audible now?
Yes, could you go slower maybe? I don't know, something is happening on the sound.
Is it better now, sir?
Yes, sir. Please go slower in your question, please.
Yes. So I just wanted to understand that in the current scenario, what are your margin expectations for the first half 23 from where we are right now? first? And second question was that in the 17% revenue growth that we have posted, you know, on an overall basis in FY22, would you be able to give us a breakup in the breakup in price and the volume growth terms?
So your question, first question is on margins and how do I see this particular year proceeding, if I heard you right. I think we are well poised for a decent margin this year as well. The exact numbers will be very difficult for me to pronounce here, sir, but I can only say that every adversity that we are facing on material cost, availability and everything will be sorted out by this team. We will help this company to continue in its stream. That is point number one. The second question is on quantities versus prices for last year. Did I hear you right, Mohitji?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so last year, more or less, in quantity terms also, roofing has done fantastically well. As I mentioned, we have increased our market shares, and now we are close to 22% in roofing. So quantities have done well. Selling prices have done well. Roofing has grown last year. So I think overall, that calls for that. Building materials, selling prices have gone up in Q4. By cherry picking that we have done, and this will continue. Therefore, the margins for building materials and the growth profile should continue. We are absolutely at the zenith of utilization there. So two things we are doing. One, of course, you have been kind to approve a new CapEx in East. So we are proceeding with that CapEx. That's been slightly slower than our expectations because of COVID and other reasons, but it's well in frame. I think by quarter three, quarter four, we'll start delivering from that CapEx. The other part that we are doing is on improving capacities in building materials in every plant by automation and small investments there to improve. IoT 4.0 is helping us immensely in also transparency and preventive maintenance of our machines. So that's helping another part of it. In plumbing sector, of course, the prices have gone up extremely. So on pipes, I think on a quantity, we have delivered less than last year. We have delivered 19% growth, I think, on quantity. And on overall, we have delivered 55% growth in pipes. Putty was slightly lower, so overall 35% growth in plumbing sector is what you possibly see from your results. And Parador, I've already talked about.
Great. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alicia from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question.
Alicia, is it possible to be slightly louder? Is it a problem with me? I don't know. My apologies.
I hope I'm audible now.
Yes, now it's better.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. My first question is with reference to a comment made earlier in this call. In Q4, in the roofing business, we've taken about a 6% price hike.
That's right.
So, was it a volume degrowth during the quarter?
No, we have grown. We have grown in quarter on volume as well.
On YOY basis, I'm saying, with referring to the Q4 of last year.
We have almost done the same volume, about 1% growth.
Okay, sure. And a couple of quarters ago, we were discussing this in the call that at an industry level, an increase in capacity in the roofing space. Is this one of the detriments which is probably impacting our volume growth, or because of the increase in competitive intensity impacting our margins in this business?
So there are multiple questions you have asked, and let me answer each one of them separately, Alicia, for clarity for you and for everyone. Yes, our competitors are increasing their capacity, but that's not at all a problem for HIL. And I once again say it's not at all a problem for HIL. We will never increase capacity in asbestos roofing in HIL. We'd rather use your money for far better utilization. And so far as the competition is concerned, they are not able to get to those performances that our plants are delivering. and those kind of efficiencies that each machine is delivering. So we will never be dirt of quantities when it comes to selling, and that's my commitment to you. So we have not degrown. We have grown in asbestos, and we have taken more market share from about 19.5 to 22 in 1 year's time. That's point number one. Point number two, quarter four, always we are lower in market shares because we want to ramp up production during this time for a better quarter one. So we prepare ourselves better for quarter one when the prices are at its peak, and we want to really maximize the utilization of inventory versus shares. Last year, also quarter one was the bumper for us, and this year also it will be so. So we will not be staying back on account on any capacity constraints.
Understood. That's really helpful. Thank you. Also, is it possible to quantify what is the contribution from Charminar?
Contribution for Charminar? I couldn't understand that question of yours. I think
what is the contribution to revenues?
Charminar, roofing is all about Charminar. So.
Sorry, I meant the non-espresso.
Non-espresso is only a very tiny element we have sold. So it's primarily Charminar.
Understood. And just one last question. What is the capacity utilization in the polymers business currently?
Polymer business in different plants have a different capacity utilization. Overall, we are about 60% utilization. Golan factory is slightly low, around 51-52. Faizabad is almost about 80% utilization, and Timapur is almost 100% utilization.
And is there any CAPEX plans for FY23?
For polymers?
Yeah.
Yes, so polymer will continue to grow. This is a business which we have now touched 500 crore, and you may remember just 3 to 4 years back we were 55 crore in this. So we have grown well, but the aspirations are far higher. So this business will be 1,500 crore in the next 3 to 4 years. So 500 to 1,500. Part of it will be from the organic growth levels, from the existing machineries, and part of it will be new SKUs that we will continue to add. Last year, for instance, we have added 200 new SKUs in this business. And part of that is where you see the inventories of our polymer is quite high because these are new SKUs and we have to platform it that way. We will continue to add CapEx wherever there is needed for range expansions on SKUs and grow this particular business. Alicia.
Thank you. Alicia, sorry to interrupt you. May I request you to rejoin the queue for a follow-up question? Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivan MS from GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, very clear.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on the roofing business and specifically on the industrial applications. So, sir, I was referring to our previous con calls, and you had said that the industrial segment has more or less transitioned from the asbestos roofing to the non-asbestos and the other options available since 2005. So, sir, my question is that while this transition was going on, majority of the market share has been taken away from the asbestos by the steel, by the metal roofing segment. So, sir, what is the reason for the non-asbestos cement roofs not being able to penetrate this market while the transition was going on? Because they are a much cheaper substitute compared to the metal roofing. So that's my first question. If you could just tell me this.
Thank you, Shivan. Very, very strong question and very correct question. If there is one business where we have not been able to do as well to our expectation is this, which is the Fortune business. The reason was we had gone for an autoclave technology earlier, which was very, very high on cost. And we found very soon that it is unsustainable. So then we went for the humid cure. Last 12 months has been humid cure technology, which we were stabilizing. Remember, this being roofing, Shivam, we can't
go full out into the revenue cost till 12 months application is over, all the seasons are over, and we are able to then understand whether our technology is really proven. Today it is proven. So you would see a ramp up on this business definitely. Yes, the costs are still higher, but we are working on that regularly and we will position it. So last year, in the last third and fourth quarter, we did roughly about 5,000 metric tons every quarter. I'm hoping that this year we would be able to see that number go up.
Okay. So thanks for the answer. So my question was more from an industry perspective. So the industry as a whole, so not only from a Charminar Fortune perspective, rather than a non-asbestos cement sheets being used in the industrial segment, during the transition, that demand was swayed towards the metal roofs and maybe RCC, the RCC construction market. So, sir, why did that happen? Because if we see the characteristics of a cement roof, they are much less on the noise, much better in terms of heat resistance, etc. Then why do people prefer the metal roofs compared to the non-asbestos cement roofs?
Well, you are absolutely dot right that the market should have been taken full time by non-asbestos cement roofing than steel. The reason is very clear. There weren't any other product in the country. So there is no other supplier which is making Fortune as well as we do, the non-asbestos AC, non-asbestos roofing sheet. So we came out with this technology primarily to ascertain our future in case asbestos goes out of the market. But at the moment, we definitely see there is a good potential for it to be sold to industrial customers. And we are the only one which are doing this in big numbers. The others maybe have some product which is 3,000, 2,000 tons in a year, which is as good as not being there. So the answer to your question is non-availability of the right product in past allowed this market to go to steel. And the future will be Fortune for us.
Great. And sir, if you could just give a broad idea about the market size in the industrial application and the broad breakup between cement, metal and RCC, if that's possible.
No, it's a tough question for me, Shivam, because we are not in those markets. We will not be able to address the whole market. I can say as the steel sheet market will be as big as the asbestos market for the roofing. So there's a big, big room for non-asbestos products to capture there.
Okay, okay. And sir, my second question is on the building solutions business. Sir, we've done about 400 crores of top line. Sir, could you give a broad breakup of how much is in blocks, boards and panels for the year?
So blocks is majority out of the 400 crore. Roughly about 250 crore is blocks. The rest of them is panels and boards. And we are growing in all these segments. So we are 100% utilized on capacity for blocks as well as boards and panels. And therefore the new plant is being set up in East for enhancing this capacity. Plus, as I mentioned, we have also taken some actions on automation as well as through IoT 4.0 to enhance these capacities.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you for your thanks for the answer. Thank you.
As long as you stay safe.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Jethwani from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I have a couple of questions. Firstly, on the flooring business, how is the competitive intensity in Europe now? And in last 1 year, many headwinds actually. So what steps do we have taken, you know, to stand out from the competition? What are those steps which we have taken? This is my first question. Second is on, the building material waste disposal policy in Europe. I guess it's a concern somewhere I was reading. And how do you see this? So these are my two questions. Thank you.
Your second question, if you can repeat, please.
Yeah. So, my second question is on the building material waste disposal policy in Europe. So my understanding is that, you know, there were some concerns. I was reading on the net. How do you see this concern for us in long run?
Okay. So thank you, Sagarji, for your question.
Yeah.
First of all, competitive intensity of the flooring business and what steps we have taken. The competition is pretty loud and clear in Europe. And in Germany, we are number one in flooring with the brand and the penetration that we have in both DIY as well as projects business. Austria, we are very, very strong again in flooring. We are not a big player in the other countries of Europe. Therefore, there's good potential for us to grow. Spain, we have now taken a good positioning the last 2 years. Whatever we have done has gained us to come to the second positioning in Spain. The other part is France, UK, where we are small players and we will try and gain competencies on that. There are two types of players there. One are who have their own HDF, MDF in homegrown. So they have those materials being produced by their company and then they utilize it for their flooring. So they were slightly benefited than us because we were to buy HDF, MDF from suppliers and suppliers who were neutral, so they didn't have flooring. For the suppliers we could go to because others were more interested selling it to their own companies. So therefore, that was a disadvantage we had. But that's now behind us. We have got now long-term contracts with big players there, and hopefully we will be able to mitigate the HDF MDF risk. I've already discussed about the Ukraine crisis and how it's posing a concern. We are still good, but we'll have to watch and see. Now, your second question is raw material waste disposal policy in Europe. That's very strong. But Paradore is absolutely safe because we have wood waste products and our scraps of wood are reused by boilers to generate power. And therefore, there is absolutely no problem in waste disposal.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so very much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from line of Sandesh from Haitong. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on good set of numbers, sir. I have just two questions. First question is for the pipes and fitting segment. So what kind of volume growth have we recorded in this quarter? And so what are the utilization rate for Gujarat and Telangana plant for pipes?
Thank you, Sandeshji. So your second question I had answered earlier, but I'll repeat it just for you again. So we have roughly about 60% capacity utilization in totality, and Telangana is almost 100% utilized. Golan is about 51% utilized. So that means so. Your first question was on quantity growth. Very difficult to track because each product are different. There are plenty of SKUs and we don't monitor therefore through that because it's quite confusing to monitor the quantity from that angle. We monitor the sales growth, which has been 55% for pipes.
Great. Just one last question, sir. So when do we expect the capacity in each to come online?
So this is on your building materials, right?
Right.
There are three things that we are doing in East. First thing we are doing is boards manufacturing capability. So that will come on live, I think, in the next 3 to 4 months' time. The second is panels to be made in East. So that's a brand new facility that's coming up. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, about quarter three or quarter four, that will come on board. The third is blocks. That will take a little more time, and we will keep you fully informed.
That's all, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandeshji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Vora, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and congrats for a good set of numbers in a very tough environment. My first question is, you have mentioned that, yeah, you are going to stick to the 1 billion mark target Will there be change in the timeline on that, or we still take that 3 to 4 years that we can make it with the, all the situations across Europe changing and inflationary situations coming up in India? That's my first question.
Thank you, Amitji, for your appreciation, and thanks for the question. My counter question to you is, as an owner, would you give me some more time? And I think the answer was... So, therefore, my standard response is, you trust me, you trust the management, we will do it as per the timeline we have committed to you. May the heaven fall.
Great, 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 great. The second question is, if you can give some numbers on the number of dealers that we have, the sales points that we are touching right now compared to what it was last year, to just give us an estimation of how we are growing in that aspect, if that is possible, and if it is, you know, handy with you.
That's a little sensitive question, Amitji. I normally don't hide any information from my shareholders, you know, this is sensitive because we have extremely strategic in each zone on what we do. I can tell you with a clear confidence that we have grown on our spread immensely last year, and the number of counters that we have added on is huge. I will leave that huge to the guests.
I respect that and totally understand. One broader point that I just want to highlight here is that, of course, you know, Parador, if we see the total profit that the company has done, the differential that has come down this year is because of Parador's, you know, performance just slightly dipping. So I think once with your efforts and the people and team that you have put up behind it, once that gets back on track, which we are hopeful you are doing the best, you know, efforts for that, we should, you know, see the best results coming in very soon. All the very best from our end.
Thank you. Thank you. Your assessment is absolutely right. I mean, Parador, I would have said with thumping note that Q4 onwards, we are back and profitability will only go up. But this war has put another set of questions and challenges. But the team is working on it, Amitji. But India will continue to grow strong.
Perfect. All the very best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Satish Kumar M, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations for the good quarter in the challenging time. My question, do we have any plan to invest more on green energy? Yes, sir.
Green energy?
Yeah.
Satishji, green energy, we have no plans to invest in energy, but we are definitely looking at putting up solar plants in our factories wherever that's possible. And if that's, that answers your question, then that's what we are doing, sir.
Yeah, yeah. To be self-reliant on the green energy and not on the business purpose. For our own purpose, I am asking.
I completely agree, sir. There is a challenge there that our roofs in all the plants are asbestos roofs, which are now 70 years old, 60 years old. Putting up solar plants on those roofs do not seem to be a possible way. So we will have to look at where to put those solar plants. Those actions are going. There is a CFT that is working on it, Satishji, and we are very, very clear. We will go for all of that.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, Viraj.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. Viraj, may I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, I just want to understand a little bit in, on Parador. Just want to understand the kind of price increase we have taken. You indicated that the order book is still healthy. So just want to understand, you know, how is the demand environment broadly like, you know, in major markets, and, you know, how is the overall competitive landscape? So in last 1 year gone by, especially in last 6 months, how is our market share in core regions kind of changed?
So I would repeat a part of it which I've already stated, Viraj. The demand environment is strong. And we have cascaded our sales to many, many countries, which is helping us to more or less spread out the risk. And what we see is
is that, you know, our strategy of moving to different countries has helped us. Order book at the moment looks good. Not really big, but it's good enough. That's what we'd say. And so far as market share, I mentioned that in Germany we are number one, and Austria also we are doing very well, and Spain we are number two now. Other markets we are not market leaders at all, and we'll have to work on that. So our specific markets would be outside Spain will be Switzerland, would be United Kingdom, would be France, would be Nordic country, and we are working on that. China, we have a joint venture, and that joint venture is growing. We have done about 4 million euro turnover in China, which is a growth over last year, but this is minuscule. There is plenty of opportunity in China to grow with a solid median middle class base that Chinese have, with a good interest for European product. We're just waiting for COVID to slide down a little, which is taking time, and you're aware of what's happening in Shanghai. So give it some time. China will be a very good growth profile for us. We are looking at North America. We are looking at Canada. We are looking at United Kingdom in a big way to grow. So all of those will be avenues to grow Parador as situation eases out a little bit.
The reason I asked about market share is, you know, sometime back you also talked about the market structure where it's quite large. It's a very fragmented market, you know, and given the kind of supply chain pressures you are facing, I'm just trying to understand, you know, does that also kind of has enabled us to gain more market share vis-a-vis other players? Just trying to understand how is the overall landscape in terms of competition, given the supply chain challenges in core markets?
Sure. So, I mean, the challenges would be same for all flooring players. There'll be something which is good for guys who have their own down-the-level HDF MDF products. But otherwise, we are all on the same base. And Ukraine crisis will be a crisis for everyone, so it will not be a Parador issue. Wood will be a critical issue unless they are able to sort out. So we have taken quick actions to gain accessibility to several other suppliers for wood. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that the war ends rather quickly and we are back to where we were, let's say, a year back, and drive Parador to newer zeniths. So, yeah, competition are facing the challenge, so are we, but we are doing well, and under the limited potential that we can with so much of headwinds. But we will come back in a quarter's time or so once the war recedes with far better numbers.
Okay, just one last question if I can squeeze in. On the supply chain part, especially for Parador, I mean, when we started the year, you know, we were kind of, you know, put in a spot because of the MDF supply issues, and now this is related to oak wood. So just want to understand, you know, other than these two, are there any other elements in the value chain where we are kind of more overly dependent on the single source or a single country? Any thought process in the supply chain sustainability?
Quarter one last year was a very, very good quarter for Parador, and both on top line and profits. I will not at all predict that we will reach those numbers this quarter because of the war. But quarter two onwards, we should be able to stabilize Parador in a far better way, better than last year, is my advocacy. So far as, you know, materials and every bit in Parador is concerned, I think we are no more dependent on single suppliers. We have broadened the basket for all suppliers. Costs are still very high in Europe. Other than HDF, MDF and oak, the vinyl costs have gone up because they used to come from China in a big number. That stopped. The chemical costs have gone up, which has an invariable issue on HDF, MDF costs, because chemicals gets into that. Plus, the insulation that gets on in some of our products, so that's also. So those are criticalities which we are seeing, but our team is managing it pretty well.
Thank you, and wish you good luck.
Thank you, sir. Need it very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah, individual investor. Please go ahead.
So could you hear me clearly?
Very clear, Chiragji.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I had a question, a couple of questions on the board segment. So you mentioned that you will be setting up a new capacity, the new capacity to come on stream in the next 3 or 4 months in the eastern part of the country. Could you help me with the unit economics in the board segment?
So, sir, we are not board focused. We are panel focused. So, first of all, second is we are not setting up a greenfield projects on board in East. We are augmenting our asbestos roofing plant in Orissa, where we have at Balasore, so that during off-seasons, we can make boards out of that plant because the capacity utilization in off-season goes down to 45-50%. So boards will be made locally, for panels to be made locally, and therefore we'll make boards in Orissa plant during off-season and then utilize it for our panel facility, which will be a brand new facility. So at the moment, if we were to set up a panel plant in East, we would have had to bring boards either from Faridabad or from Hyderabad, which would have been very expensive on freight. So that's the reason this augmentation has been done.
So, sir, the capacity is with roofing, it's fungible. Am I right? Of the board?
Because 2 quarters, we use it 95-100%, and 2 quarters, we use it 50% or 60%. So those are the capacity utilizing. Therefore, your fixed cost won't go up. Your it will only be the variable cost and far more utilization of machine.
All right, sir. That's it. That's it for my end. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Patwa from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking the question and congratulations on a very good performance despite the challenging times. So just want you and also thanks for giving a lot of insights in the last 1 hour. So just my question was related to the asbestos fiber roof availability. I think you touched upon it and also provided insights on how our company is placed for it. But on a structural and industry level, how do you see the impact of this war on, because it's a very limited, so I think Russia, UK supply would form a very large part of the global supply chain. So how is it impacting the supply as a pricing or an industry level?
Honestly, you were off and on the voice, but let me try and recapitulate your question. Your point is, how will the war impact supply chain? Am I right?
Of the roofing, of the fiber availability.
Of the roofing, yes. So my estimate is probably that the Russian supplies of fiber will definitely see a little bit of a concern. If not for availability, at least from the shipping lines and payment terms, etc., so would be Kazakhs. So a lot of dependence now will be therefore on Brazil. And we can already see it because almost all competition has rushed to Brazil to get more quantities of fiber from Brazil, which we get an indication. And that has also impacted Brazil's raising their fiber costs. And the other thing is the sea freight. So sea freight is becoming far more expensive, which will be hurting everyone. So on fiber side, it will be an expensive game for everyone. Some of them will also lament under availability issue, and I feel for them. But your company, HIL, is absolutely safe. We have both the availability of fiber, and we have been able to mitigate some of these cost structures also well. It will hurt us immensely this year over last year, so far as landed fiber costs are concerned because of sea freight and other things, but that's something which is far better to be handled than availability.
Right. So will you, the pricing is a transitory impact would be there, but on structural basis, you would be much better than everyone else.
Absolutely correct, sir. Thank you for putting that through.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deep Gandhi from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Dhiru. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, Gandhi, very clear. Please tell me your question.
Sure. My question is about the fiber cement board division. In the past calls, you have been mentioning that the company has not focused much on this division. Can you please elaborate on the reason behind this? Because if you see some of your competitors, they've been talking a lot of good things about this industry, and they've also been planning to do CapEx to expand their capacity. Just wanted to know your view on this.
You're right. We did not focus on FCBs, whereas our competitors have done, and some of them are doing well, and I give credit to them. We are more focused on panels because we believe that's a good value-add product for us, sir. We were making fiber cement board only from Hyderabad earlier, historically. Now we have set up the Fortune line in Faridabad, and 50% of that capacity is utilized for making fiber cement board. So the board requirement for North, which we needed for our panel plant in North, is now being completely met from Faridabad. So that's giving us a profitability benefit. That's where in building solutions, you have seen the profits go up by 44% this year. I would say our focus will continue to be in panels, and we are setting up, we are augmenting our respective manufacturing line in Odisha for making fiber cement board for, again, panels in East. We will focus more on that. We are going to park more and more money to invest into pipes business and grow that, which will be significant value add in coming time, according to us, sir.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Doshi, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Sagar, sorry, your voice is breaking terribly. Can I request you to come in a bit?
Hello?
Yes.
Sagarji, boliye. Okay. So my question is firstly regarding the margin. Okay. So as we could see, this quarter, Parado won't be performing that well. So could I expect that on a year-on-year basis, even though we will be having a good quarter for the roofing, there would be a hit on a consolidated level due to Parado, or will we be able to manage it? The second question is, are we taking any steps to reduce the cyclicality of our business? I know there would be around 20% of hike in the quarter one, quarter two, but somehow due to more revenue from other segments, let's say in next 2 years or something, do we see our cyclicality being softened up? The other two ones.
So I'm not sure I heard you fully, Sagarji, and my apologies for that. The line wasn't good, but let me still try and answer what I've heard. So your question, on cyclic element of the business, quarter one will continue to remain the bumper quarter for HIL, followed by quarter four, and quarter two and quarter three will be weak. This is also sadly the same story in Parador, because in quarter two they have their summers, and quarter three they have Christmas vacations. So that remains in Europe a cyclic issue again. Now, so far as the product cyclicity is concerned, as you have been hearing and I've been saying very openly, we are trying to use our asbestos roofing facilities for non-asbestos to ensure that the plants are run continuously across the year and provide us incremental revenue as well as profit, and that's the process that we do. Pipes is another business that has come in now, and as it grows and the profits come up, at the moment the profits are low there, but as the profits come up and as the volumes go up, you would see that that is going to compensate for loss of profitability in quarter two, quarter three, for a trial results on account of roofing dip. So we are hopeful that in the coming years, you would see for yourself that HIL has come out of this cyclic nature, and every quarter there are strong foray into profitable growth.
Got it. Thank you for the explanation. Just one more thing on the margin. Can I expect, this year we had inflation issues, etc., which would, let's say, continue for, say, quarter one or quarter two, but in the long term, let's say, around four quarters down the line also, can I see the margins being at a state where it was in FY21?
FY21 was a booster year because a lot of cost was subdued owing to COVID. We had taken a lot of discretionary measures on that. Let me say that, okay, few things let me clarify. One of all, your company will grow. So top line will see a growth. With that, the profits will grow on absolute value, and that you will see in a disciplined manner. So absolute value of profits are going to grow. Profitability percentage to revenue looks low because of the huge challenges on materials. We will be able to come back to a greater amount as situation normalizes, and that's my plea. So overall, a profitable growth towards the 1 billion, I promise you that.
Can you, if you can give any number towards the margins that you can generate, let's say in long term?
Sagarji, it's not that you are asking this question. It's in general, I don't get futuristic number because A, it's not something that SEBI likes it. And number two, I'm sure you will appreciate this can go either side based on several headwinds that we keep facing. So I would not like to shame our trust. So please allow me not to give a direction, but I'm just saying you will have a very profitable growth from HR, sir.
Sure. Thank you, sir. And we are looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, Alaji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajox Frederick from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, we understand Ukraine is a major source of oak wood. So as things stand today, are borders open for trade or is it just completely shut for oak supplies?
So, Mr. Frederick, thank you very much for your question. Ukraine is quite a big spread and the eastern side of it is absolutely closed and bombing to Negros, sorry, western side. But on the east, it's still something that we are able to do. So the question is more about how they run the factory because there is a dictate that all males have to join the war. And therefore, they can't run the plants only based on women employees. And that becomes an issue. But there are a couple of our contacts there who are trying to support us, and we are trying to do as much as possible there.
Got it, sir. Sir, what is the breakup of building solutions business, let's say 23, Bricks Putty and others?
So building solutions?
What is the expected breakup? FY23?
So 250 crore is blocks and the rest is panels and bolts, sir, out of 400 crore. Is that your question?
For next year, sir, for next year.
So next year also we will remain the same thing. As soon as the new operations come in place in Orissa, then we will have more of panels there coming in till the bolts plant comes in. But we will grow because our NSR is growing, so I think you can steadily expect a growth in both profitability and top line in building solutions. I can work for that.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you, Mr. Pritam.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjaya Mishra from Sunidhi Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to know how is the penetration level in tier 2, tier 3 for our AAC block? I mean, is it increasing or it is still on?
Nishaji, the business normally is mostly driven through big construction agencies. So tier 1 has started. Tier 2, tier 3, we had penetrated during the COVID times and that has helped us to do a cherry picking of orders and improve our NSRs. The better thing that I can say in penetration of tier 2, tier 3 has been the working capital. So we have almost started getting 50% advance for this business and you would have seen that the working capital of this business has gone down immensely and the reason is that. So our penetrations are good, our selections are good for customers, there are no bad debt provisions which used to be quite a blatant thing 4-5 years back. I think this business is absolutely streamlined, sir.
No, sir, I was asking in the sense that market increasing for AAC blocks in tier 2, tier 3.
They are doing well, sir.
There is a huge demand as we see. We have a problem in supply more than orders really, and therefore we are able to cherry pick.
Okay. And would like to thank Mr. Virappan for his contribution and within the analyst community for so long, and wish him all the best for his future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mishra.
Yes, Mr. Mishra, we are all going to miss him, but I'm sure you will be in touch with him because he's going to a listed company.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question from the line of Deep, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Sir, there is a lot of echo from your line. May I request you to speak through the handset?
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir, I didn't get your name, sir. Sorry about that.
Deep Sakwan.
Okay, please tell me, sir.
Yeah. So I had a couple of questions. First one is on the, given the competitive scenario and the dampening valuations because of commodities pricing and the global crisis regarding Russia and Ukraine, are we seeing any prospective inorganic growth opportunities right now? And or are we pursuing something? I understand that due to competitive reasons, you might not be able to reveal the details, but are we pursuing something in those directions? And secondly, one administrative question, in the independent auditor's report that we were reviewing, there was one emphasis matter which I couldn't get much my head around, was around the compensation thing. If someone could throw light on how that works and which what required us to pass a special resolution due to that compensation numbers and all that. And yeah, those are the only two questions I had.
So if it's which compensation number, that's what I don't understand. On your inorganic growth story, I can say, sir, this organization has pledged to you to take it to a 1 billion story. 1 billion won't come from our existing lines alone. We have to be opportunist in our ways in seeing which is the new vertical we will get in and how we grow that. So those aspects are all being reviewed at all times, and we will soon come back with more details on that to you. At the moment, we don't have any inorganic acquisition in our site, and therefore I'm unable to talk about that. So about compensation, could you please define this a little more, and I will definitely answer that, sir.
Yeah, so there was something in the emphasis of matter called out in the independent auditor's report, which said that due to certain limits described by Companies Act, the compensation should be around 1205, but due to it being around 1627, we will be seeking the shareholder approval through a special resolution during AGM.
Okay. So this was about my salary, and let me define this to you. My salary hasn't changed, and you know, if you can put in a word to my bosses, that will be great for me. But on a serious note, the expansion of salary that you see is only on account of ESOP. ESOP was approved by all shareholders and in the AGM also, and just that the tranche has been due, and I have take my claim to the first tranche of ESOP. There is a valuation that comes when you buy the ESOP and you pay half of it as tax from your personal taxation, and the whole valuation stands as a perquisite value in the salary, and therefore around 8 CR is coming as a perquisite value of ESOPs, which is nothing that I or anyone could have controlled. Since the amount of the salary as it will stand with the ESOP, which is primarily a perquisite value getting defined, will be more than 5% of the PAT of the company, that's where it will need a resolution and an acceptance by shareholders. So that's what has been written, which will come in the AGM, sir.
Got it. Thank you so much. And once again, congratulations on the great set of performance, the way we hear from the management in terms of getting responses. And also, thanks so much to Mr. Virappan for the contributions he has been giving us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. That will be the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, Nirav. HRL, thank you all. It has been a pleasure interacting with all of you over this call. We thank you for the time taken out and engaging with us. We value your continued interest and your questions and your support. If you have any further question or would like to know anything more about your company, kindly reach out to us at the investor relationship desk, or I will be most happy personally to interact with you. Thank you all. Bye-bye. Stay safe.
Thank you very much. On behalf of HIL Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.